of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to our 2024 March edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how you can do that later in the program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state, and if you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about that as well right at the end of this program. This month, we'll take a look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of February at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The first book that was very popular this past month is called The Moors Are Missing, and it's by the popular author James Patterson. Now, the title's a little bit misleading because that is the title of the first novel of three trilogies. This is actually, or three books in a trilogy. This is actually the name of the very first novel. It's The Moors Are Missing, written with Lauren D. Estelman. The Moore family just vanished from their home without telling a single soul. A last-minute vacation, a kidnapping, a run for their lives. You'll never see the truth coming. Sounds like a good one. That's the first of the trilogy in the book entitled The Moors Are Missing. The second novel is called The Housewife, with Sam Hawken. Maggie Denning is a former chief detective adjusting to a quiet life in the suburbs with her family. But when the woman next door is found brutally murdered, Maggie starts investigating. Everyone's a suspect, even her own husband. That's novel number two in this trilogy. And number three is called Absolute Zero, with Ed Chatterton. The plot for this one is they slaughtered his friends and framed him for murder. Now, Special Forces vet Cody Thurston is a fugitive who will stop at nothing to complete one last mission, revenge. Once again, this book is called The Moors Are Missing by James Patterson, but it is actually a trilogy of stories, the first one being The Moors Are Missing. The second one is called The Housewife, and the third one is called Absolute Zero. Well, while we are on the subject of James Patterson, this wasn't the only book that was particularly popular in the month of February. We also want to take a look at another big one this month, which was Alex Cross Must Die, and this is by James Patterson as well. An airport killer targeting pilots expands his scope. Drop whatever you're doing, Detective Cross, and head to Reagan Airport, D.C. Metro Police Dispatch says. A jet just crashed and exploded on the runway. The chief and the FBI want you and John Sampson there pronto. Cross and Sampson race to the crash site. The plane didn't fail. It was shot down by a stolen Vietnam War-era machine gun. The list of experts who can operate the weapon is short, and time before another lethal strike runs even shorter, especially for Detective Cross. Very popular recent novel by James Patterson. It's called Alex Cross Must Die. Now let's take a look at another prolific and very popular author, David Baldacci. This is his latest book called The Edge. The 620 man is back, dropped by his handlers into a small coastal town in Maine to solve the murder of a CIA agent who knew America's dirtiest secrets. Can Travis Devine uncover the truth before his time runs out? When CIA operative Jenny Silkwell is murdered in rural Maine, government officials have immediate concerns over national security. Her laptop and phone were full of state secrets that, in the wrong hands, endanger the lives of countless operatives. In need of someone who can solve the murder quickly and retrieve the missing information, the U.S. government knows just the chameleon they can call on. Ex-Army Ranger Travis Devine spent his time in the military preparing to take on any scenario, followed by his short-lived business career chasing shadows in the deepest halls of power, so his analytical mind makes him particularly well-suited for complex high-stakes tasks. Taking down the world's largest financial conspiracy proved his value, and in comparison, this case looks straightforward. Except small towns hold secrets, and Devine finds himself an outsider again. Devine must ingratiate himself with locals who have trusted each other their whole lives and who distrust outsiders just as much. Dak, Jenny's brother, who's working to revitalize the town. Earl, the retired lobsterman who found Jenny's body. And Alex, Jenny's sister, with a dark past of her own. As Devine gets to know the residents of Putnam, Maine, answers seem to appear and then transform into more questions. There's a long history of secrets and those who will stop at nothing to keep them from being exposed, leading Devine with no idea who he can trust and who wants him dead. Once again, the book is called The Edge. Sounds like a good one. It's the latest by David Baldacci. Now let's take a look at a new book called The Innocent Wife. It's by Lisa Reagan. Candles are lit in their rich vanilla scent twists its way through the cabin. The table is set for a romantic anniversary dinner with fresh roses dropping crimson petals on crisp white linen. But the woman seated at the table is cold to the touch, and there's blood trickling down her neck. Here's the plot for this one. When Denton's most loved TV presenter returns home to find his wife dead at the dining table, it shatters the close-knit community. Beautiful and absolutely besotted with each other, Beau and Claudia Collins were idealized for being the perfect couple, but the devastating scene Detective Josie Quinn finds in their remote hideaway has her asking what dark secrets lurk beneath the surface of this seemingly flawless marriage. Beau is grief-stricken by the loss of his kind-hearted wife, who gave so much to others as a therapist. But Josie needs to know the significance of the small wooden puzzle box found clutched in Claudia's hand. A prop in a popular game Beau played with his viewers to test the strength of their relationships, is it a twisted calling card or a challenge from the killer? The broken body of one of Beau and Claudia's assistants is found the next day, a matching little box left in the dirt beside her. It's clear that if Beau doesn't start telling the truth about the flaws in his marriage, those dearest to him will die. Caught in a cat-and-mouse chase with disturbing revelations and a mounting body count at every turn, Josie and her team work night and day to keep Beau's loved ones safe. What kind of calculating monster would do this? A faded newspaper article about a tragic accident is the break Josie desperately needs. But she may already be too late. An innocent child is in danger. Once again, this mystery story by Lisa Regan, and it's entitled The Innocent Wife. Now let's take a look at a review by Ray Palin from October 2023. This is a review of a book called The Secret by Lee Child and Andrew Child. There is nothing quite like a Jack Reacher novel. Lee Child has been penning thrillers featuring his favorite protagonist for decades. Now he has released his fourth Reacher story written with his brother, Andrew Child. In many of these books, Reacher is a large figure with an eagle's sense of justice who roams the country and gets into situations that require a hero. There are others, like The Secret, in which Reacher is called upon by his own government to help clean up a potentially deadly mess. This latest effort is set in 1992, which makes some of the post-Cold War rumblings more significant than they would be in the present day. Keith Bridgman, who is in his early 60s, wakes up in his hospital bed where he is recovering from a cardiac arrest to find two strange women standing there. They identify themselves as Veronica and Roberta Sanson, and they are interested in a top-secret bioweapons project in India that he was a part of in 1969. Before they end his life by throwing him out of his hospital window, they inform him that they are the daughters of Morgan Sanson. This allows Bridgman to go over in his head who he wronged during that mission as his body races towards the pavement. It turns out that Bridgman is just the start. Two other apparently innocent U.S. citizens, Owen Buck and Varinder Singh, die mysteriously. The response is swift from Secretary of Defense Charles Stammeron, who puts together a team to look into these deaths and try to find a connection. Among these folks is the one and only Jack Reacher. If Stammeron had done a better job vetting these candidates, he might have had second thoughts about Reacher, who will hunt down the truth like a bulldog, no matter where it leads. Readers are already privy to the fact that Stammeron had something to do with the tragic events that took place in India when thousands of innocent lives were claimed due to the mishandling of chemical weapons. The seven members of that team are now on a hit list kept by Veronica and Roberta, who also insist on learning the name of the notorious eighth individual who was really pulling the strings. Meanwhile, more murders are being committed at the hands of these ruthless assassins, who sort of remind me of Bambi and Thumper from the James Bond classic Diamonds Are Forever. When talk of Russian involvement in the 1969 case becomes a thing, Reacher and company get their hands on a former Soviet who provides some much-needed information concerning the identity of that eighth member. The Secret is just what you would expect from a Jack Reacher novel. Fast-paced, no-nonsense, and extremely hard-hitting. While fans wait patiently for the second season of Reacher to hit Amazon Prime Video, it might be a nice idea to dive into this exciting new book so you can get your Reacher fix right now. Once again, the book is called The Secret. It's by Lee Child and his brother Andrew Child, and this was a review written by Ray Palin in October of 2023. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, our March 2024 edition. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today. This is an exclusive presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service. Now let's turn to another book. This past month, it was very popular. It's called The Things We Do for Love, and it's by Kristen Hanna. In this tear-jerking novel by Hanna, Between Sisters, 38-year-old Angela Malone abandons a successful advertising career in Seattle to find comfort in West End, the small Pacific Northwest coastal town where she grew up. Pregnancy woes, chronic miscarriages, a baby who lived only for 5 days, and a botched adoption have caused her marriage to journalist Conlon to end in divorce. Her big, warm-hearted Italian family welcomes her with open arms, and she throws herself into revamping the family's restaurant, DeSaria's. Then she befriends hard-working teenager Lauren Rubido, who's in need of a new coat, some mothering, and later on a place to live. Lauren's life is far worse than self-pitying Angie's. She's pregnant, her alcoholic mother has given up on her, and her rich boyfriend, David, is off to his first-choice college. Lauren can't go through with the abortion David encourages her to have, and the next step seems obvious. She should give the baby up to Angie, who's on the way to reconciling with Conlon. Hanna stacks the odds against Lauren almost absurdly and makes her life with Angie a rose-tinted dream come true. But she paints a wrenching, convincing picture of the dilemma teenage mothers face. Familiar but warmly rendered characters, a few surprising twists, and a bittersweet ending make this satisfying reading from this past summer a really good one. The book is called The Things We Do for Love, and it's by the very popular author Kristen Hanna. Now let's turn to another equally popular author of mystery stories. This is a book called The Inheritance, and it's by Nora Roberts. Inheritance is the first in the Lost Bride trilogy by the number one New York Times bestselling author Nora Roberts, a tale of tragedies, loves found and lost, and a family haunted for generations. 1806. Astrid Poole sits in her bridal clothes, overwhelmed with happiness. But before her marriage can be consummated, she is murdered, and the circle of gold torn from her finger. Her last words are a promise to Colin never to leave him. Graphic designer Sonia McTavish is stunned to learn that her late father had a twin he never knew about, and that her newly discovered uncle, Colin Poole, has left her almost everything he owned, including a majestic Victorian house on the Maine coast, which the will stipulates she must live in for at least 3 years. Her engagement recently broken, she sets off to find out why the boys were separated at birth and why it was all kept secret until a genealogy website brought it all to light. Trey, the young lawyer who greets her at the sprawling clifftop manor, notes Sonia's unease and acknowledges that, yes, the place is haunted, but just a little. Sure enough, Sonia finds objects moved and music playing out of nowhere. She sees a painting by her father inexplicably hanging in her deceased uncle's office, and a portrait of a woman named Astrid, whom the lawyer refers to as the first lost bride. It is becoming clear that Sonia has inherited far more than a house. She has inherited a centuries-old curse and a puzzle to be solved if there is any hope of breaking it. Once again, the book is called Inheritance. It's a new one by the popular mystery writer Nora Roberts. Now let's take a look at another new book that just showed up in our top 10 list this past month. It is called Take Your Breath Away, and it's by novelist Linwood Barclay. Here's the plot. 6 years after Bree Mason mysteriously disappeared, a woman who seems to be her shows up at the since-rebuilt house in which she'd lived with her husband. Andrew setting off a chain reaction of shock, accusations, lies, and murder. Andrew, a contractor with a failing business and a drinking problem triggered by Bree's disappearance, lives elsewhere in the town of Milford, Connecticut, with his pregnant girlfriend, Jane, and her troubled 16-year-old brother, Tyler. Seemingly everyone in Milford who remembers the sensational story has long suspected Andrew of killing Bree, including obsessed detective Marissa Hardy and Bree's sister, Isabel. But Andrew has mysteriously prevented Jane from learning anything about his personal history, making a point of rarely dining out with her or otherwise being seen with her in public. He's soon got some splaining to do. Andrew's alibi is that he was on a fishing trip with his friend and business partner, Greg, the night Bree vanished. Hardy believes he drove back to Milford during the wee hours, killed and buried Bree, and returned to the fishing spot before dawn. After showing up at the site of her old house, the would-be Bree makes a couple more well-planned appearances, including a midnight visit to her dying mother in the hospital. But no one gets a clear enough look at her to be sure if she is who she says she is. For a book that relies on so many twists and turns, with a central premise that could easily fall apart, Barclay's latest does an impressive job of sustaining suspense and making its characters believable. The reader is kept guessing until close to the end, by which time a forced detail or two doesn't really matter. An infectious thriller, one of Barclay's best. The book is called Take Your Breath Away, and it was written by Linwood Barclay. Now let's take a look at a book by Michael Connelly. This one is called Resurrection Walk. Here's the plot. Lincoln lawyer Mickey Haller enlists the help of his half-brother, Harry Bosch, to prove the innocence of a woman convicted of killing her ex-husband. Defense attorney Mickey Haller is back, taking the long-shot cases where the chances of winning are one in a million. After getting a wrongfully convicted man out of prison, he is inundated with pleas from incarcerated people claiming innocence. He enlists his half-brother, retired LAPD Detective Harry Bosch, to weed through the letters, knowing most claims will be false. Bosch pulls a needle from the haystack, a woman in prison for killing her ex-husband, a sheriff's deputy, but who still maintains her innocence. Bosch reviews the case and sees elements that don't add up, and a sheriff's department intent on bringing quick justice in the killing of one of its own. Now Haller has an uphill battle in court, a David fighting Goliaths, to vindicate his client. The path for both lawyer and investigator is fraught with danger from those who don't want the case reopened and will stop at nothing to keep the Haller-Bosch dream team from finding the truth. Once again, the book is called Resurrection Walk, and it was by Michael Connelly. Now here's a book called Dirty 30. This one is by Janet Ivanovich, who has written many books and very popular, the character Stephanie Plum, of course. Here's the plot for this one, Dirty 30, it's called. Stephanie Plum, Trenton's hardest-working, most underappreciated bounty hunter, is offered a freelance assignment that seems simple enough. Local jeweler Martin Rabner wants her to locate his former security guard, Andy Manley, who is convinced stole a fortune in diamonds out of his safe. Stephanie is also looking for another troubled man, Duncan Dugan, a fugitive from justice, arrested for robbing the same jewelry store on the same day. With her boyfriend Morelli away in Miami on police business, Stephanie is taking care of Bob, Morelli's giant orange dog, who will devour anything from Stephanie's stray donuts to the upholstery in her car. Morelli's absence also means the inscrutable, irresistible security expert Ranger is in front and center in Stephanie's life when things inevitably go sideways, and he seems determined to stay there. To complicate matters, her best friend Lula is convinced that she is being stalked by a mythological demon hell-bent on relieving her of her wardrobe. An overnight stakeout with Stephanie's mother and Grandma Mazur reveals three generations of women with nerves of steel and driving skills worthy of NASCAR champions. As the body count rises and witnesses start to disappear, it won't be easy for Stephanie to keep herself clean when everyone else is playing dirty. It's a good thing Stephanie isn't afraid of getting a little dirty as well. And once again, the name of this book is Dirty 30 by Janet Ivanovich. And we have time for one more book in this program. This one's a little out of season, but enjoyed by a lot of people within the last few months. It's called Bright Lights, Big Christmas by Mary Kay Andrews. Here's the plot for this one. When fall rolls around, it's time for Carrie Tolliver to leave her family's Christmas tree farm in the mountains of North Carolina for the wilds of New York City to help her gruff older brother and his dog, Queenie, sell the trees at the family stand on a corner in Greenwich Village. Sharing a tiny vintage camper and experiencing Manhattan for the first time, Carrie's steady, or rather ready, to try to carve out a new corner for herself. In the weeks leading into Christmas, Carrie quickly becomes close with the charming neighbors who live near the stand. When an elderly neighbor goes missing, Carrie will need to combine her country know-how with her newly acquired New York knowledge to protect the new friends she's come to think of as family. And complicating everything is Patrick, a single dad, raising his adorable dragon-loving son, Austin, on this quirky block. Carrie and Patrick's chemistry is undeniable, but what chance does this holiday romance really have? Filled with family ties, both rekindled and new, and sparkling with Christmas magic, Bright Lights, Big Christmas delivers everything Mary Kay Andrews fans adore, all tied up in a hilarious, romantic gem of a novel. Bright Lights, Big Christmas by Mary Kay Andrews. And that's all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program today. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, simply Google or search for Accessible Books, North Carolina Library, or you can call toll-free 888-388-2460. You can also use those same numbers and website to join the Friends at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately? Will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.